afternoon, this is Ketchel Cook, and with Looking Up, a few minutes at the end of the week to think about astronomical things. So, the week before last, there was a total solar eclipse, unfortunately not visible from these shores. What a pity. But on Tuesday the 16th, that's next week, there will be a partial lunar eclipse which you can see from here. The observatory, in Observatory next to the River Club, is having a special event where you can go along and look through telescopes, attend a talk about the eclipse and proceed to enjoy the spectacle itself. Partial eclipses are a little unpredictable in how much you can see of the Earth's shadow trundling across the Moon's surface with the naked eye, but through telescopes you see a lot more because as more light gets in, so you can see that kind of red shadow. The partial eclipse begins around 10 p.m. with the maximum eclipse at 11:30 at night. The talk and the event start at 8 p.m. at the observatory. It's free and all are welcome. Now the golden question, where were you on July the 20th, 1969? Did you exist? Can you remember? Well, you'd have to be fairly media shy to have missed the 50-year anniversary of that special day coming up soon, when the Eagle landed on the Moon and human beings first stepped onto another world. NASA TV is showing a two-hour live broadcast on Friday the 19th at 3:15, which might be very interesting. And the first phase of humankind's active exploration of the Moon came to an end when Apollo 17's lunar module left the lunar surface way back on December the 14th, 1972. So I'm sure that the NASA TV broadcast will show quite a lot of these missions. There's been six in total, and 12 men have walked on the Moon over those six missions. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned new plans that NASA has for sending humans to the Moon, and other space agencies also have lunar missions, notably the Chinese. But nothing grabs the public's attention like a manned mission, and somehow people believe that we've made a backward step since the 60s and 70s in space exploration. Actually, it's far from the truth, since many successful planetary probes have been launched. But humans are terribly fussy, needing the right mix of ingredients just to breathe, making it expensive to loft into space. So a note about the current Chinese unmanned mission to the far side of the Moon, which is there at the moment. The Chang'e lunar landers are still working away on the far side of the Moon, and they're exploring this relatively unknown and barren landscape. And this is the first mission to soft land on the far side, in other words, not to crash land onto the surface. China is readying another lunar mission, Chang'e 5, which is expected to launch later this year. It will be a particularly notable mission because it aims to return lunar samples to Earth for the first time since Russia's lunar missions in the 1970s. The exploration mission is intended to bring back up to 2 kilograms of moon rock, and a subsequent mission is set to repeat the exercise before 2024. Missions to the Moon have been conducted by the Soviet Union, United States, European Space Agency, Japan, India, People's Republic of China and Israel. What's interesting, if you take a look at the Wikipedia site listing lunar projects, is the number which have failed, which is 59, with 70 having been successful. Most of those failures did so at launch. It's also notable that as we progress in time, the success rate increases. So now there are only 4 people alive who set foot on the Moon. Harrison Schmitt, one of the lucky ones, said that one of the hardest things to get used to was the blackness of space. He remarked, "The biggest problem I think photographers have in printing pictures from space is actually finding a way to print black, absolute black." Buzz Aldrin described weightlessness as one of the most fun and enjoyable, challenging and rewarding experiences of spaceflight, perhaps not too far from a trampoline, but without the springiness and instability, he said. And here's some more fun facts. Your toaster is more advanced than Apollo 11's command module computer. Yes, not your calculator, but your toaster. The Apollo 11 astronauts consumed a lot of fizzy water. Due to a problem with the spacecraft's hydrogen gas filters, the men's drinking water was always a bit bubbly, which of course led to some serious flatulence. Yes, you heard it on Fire Music Radio. Buzz Aldrin's mother's maiden name was Moon. Bet you didn't know that. And finally, the person who coined the term software engineering was responsible for every line of code for the Apollo guidance computer. Margaret Hamilton, she was just 33 years old at the time. What a responsibility. And if you're just wondering how Capetonians can celebrate, well, in November this year, Capetonians will be treated to Apollo 11, the ballet. So listen to this space for more information about that. And for now, this is Ketchell Kirkham wishing us clear skies, especially for Tuesday night for that partial eclipse. FMR.